Hello, you're tuned into RN's Now Hear This. I'm Melanie Tate. Today you're going to hear three stories of families, the families we're born with and the families we make for ourselves along the way. The stories aren't going to be told in a way that you might be used to on the radio. Maybe you're used to stories being told through interviews, through questions and answers. Well, these stories are different. These stories are from our Now Hear This events, where people stand up in front of a room full of people and tell their story into a microphone without any notes to help them along. Kind of like being at an amplified dinner party or barbecue, but no one's asking questions. You'll hear a story about how a family ghost brought a blended family together and how a single mum's illness made a community into a family. But first today, a father tries to bloke up his very different son. And there's a warning on this story. There's a disturbing moment with a fish. So if you're not fond of disturbing moments with fish, tune out for about 8 minutes, but don't forget to come back. Here's Joel Bartcham.
In many ways, my dad and I are very different people. That's why he had to trick me when I was 17 into going fishing with him. We were going to a big family barbecue later that night, and our job was to bring the fish. Now, I thought we were going to the supermarket when we got in the car, but Dad had another plan. He was trying to get some fishing-based male bonding time. My dad did this a lot. My parents split up when I was very young, and I'd only see my dad once or twice a year during the holidays, so we'd usually have a plan, like some male activity we'd do together when I'd see him. Now, I know his goal was to spend time with his son, but I always suspected he had an ulterior motive, to, like, man me up a bit. Now, and don't let the incredibly rugged, masculine man before you trick you. When I was young, I was a bit of a sissy, so And like I said, my dad and I are very different people. My dad is a very, very Aussie bloke, is probably the easiest way to put it. There's a lot more to him than that, but that gives you a general idea, the kind of things he was into. So he'd take me fishing and camping and bushwalking and things like that. And I wasn't that into that. My idea of a good holiday would have been hanging out at home, drawing, reading, playing on his computer. And I didn't understand why we had to do these things. I was happy for him to go to the football and I'd stay home and play with his computer because, frankly, his computer was awesome. I knew that it wasn't about the event, it was about spending time with my dad and, you know, I never grew to like football, but I'd like going to the football with my dad. He'd buy me a beer, we'd share some chips, it was nice, that was cool. But I never changed my mind about fishing. I hate fishing. I went so often, I went with all my friends when I was a kid and I'd use the same rods, the same bait, the same hooks, the same everything, they'd all catch fish, I never got a nibble. It drove me nuts, it was so unfair. I became convinced that it was impossible for me to catch a fish. And I told Dad this when he finally revealed in the car where we were going. I said, we can't go fishing, we have to go to the supermarket, because if we go fishing, I won't catch any fish, our family will starve, and it'll be my fault. He told me he had a plan, that it was going to be okay. Turns out he was taking me to a trout farm. I see some people have been to a trout farm. If you haven't, a trout farm, you go to some guy's property, he's dug some holes in the ground, a couple of meters wide, a couple of meters deep, and you fill them, he's filled it entirely with trout. And then you pour a little water over the top so it has the appearance of a lake. In no way is fishing at a trout farm like fishing in the real world. And once you've caught your fish, you take it up to a guy who weighs it, runs it through like the till. It's like a novelty supermarket with a very limited selection. I was still convinced that it was impossible for me to catch a fish, and I'd made peace with that a long time ago. I was okay. I didn't have any self-worth in my fishing abilities. But I did have this biological desire to impress my dad. I think we all do. And as much as I didn't care about all this manly stuff, I wanted to be a man in front of my dad. And this place was like, it was patronizing. If I couldn't catch a fish for my dad in this place, I would have been terribly embarrassed. Turns out I shouldn't have worried. I hadn't even put bait on the hook yet. My dad was just giving me a refresher in how to do the, I don't even know what it's called, the vzzz over the thing. So the vzzz over the thing bit went, and as soon as, the hook went over the water, the fish jumped up, latched on. I was surprised. Dad told me what to do. I reeled it in. I pulled it up. I grabbed the fish. I got the hook out of his mouth, and I caught a fish. As much as I didn't care and hated fishing and was all that's talking about having no pride in it, this moment, with my first fish with my dad, it was pretty awesome. All the other big firsts in my life, like the first drink, the first cigarette, the first paycheck, the first time I got laid, none of them made me feel like as much of a man as this first fish. It was incredible. I was a hunter-gatherer now. My family would eat. And then I had no idea what to do next because I'd never gotten that far. So I turned to my dad and I went, "Now what?" And he went, "You got to pacify the fish, son." "How?" "You use the pacifier." Now, I don't know what I was expecting, but I wasn't expecting him to hand over this lump of wood. And I looked at the fish, and I looked at my dad, and I looked at the pacifier, and I slowly put it together. "I don't want to pacify the fish, Dad." "Come on, son, you got to hit it on the head. We can't take it home like that. Just put it down on the bench and give it a whack." And so there was a little metal table provided, and I put the fish down. And trout are ugly creatures, but they do have this one massive, beautiful, expressive eyeball, and it was telling me it knew what was going on and didn't know why. And I tried to look back and tell it that I would make this as quick as possible. So I closed my eyes and I raised the pacifier and I brought it down. Thwack! When I was a kid, my dad's nickname for me was Muscles, which was quite nice, but I don't think there's ever been a nickname I deserve less. The fish was still flailing under my hand. As I opened my eyes, blood was coming out of its mouth, but it was probably more from the hook than my killing blow. Dad went, "No, open your eyes. Give it a real hit, son." "Okay, Dad." And I lift, put my weight into it. Whack! It didn't die. More blood came out the front. It flapped harder. This next time, I put like a manly roar behind it, trying to get some barbaric rage. Ah! And I hit the fish, and its eye popped out of its head, attached to a strand, but it didn't die, and the eye kept looking at me, and I hit it again and again, and at this point, my manly cries were turning into screams as I failed and hit this fish over and over and over, and it didn't die. Everyone else at the trout farm had stopped what they were doing and were looking over at me, thinking this must be some kind of sick joke, but they didn't understand how this one moment of manly triumph had been perverted and turned into this grotesque, awful thing. And I kept hitting the fish, and there was one where I thought I'd got it. I heard a crunch, but I'd missed slightly and just gotten its jaw, so its jaw flattened and blood went everywhere. But the fish was alive. I hit again. I hit the eye. It popped. Purple and white stuff went everywhere. I kept hitting the fish. I don't know how long it went for. I don't know whether I stopped flailing or the fish stopped flailing first, but eventually it was dead. I let go. It didn't move. There was blood all over my hands and all over the pacifier, so I dropped it. I stumbled back onto the fishing stool. I tried to catch my breath. I could feel my dad next to me, and I had no idea what he was thinking. He put his hand on my shoulder and went, "Well done, son." I didn't want to look at him, but enough time had passed, I turned. His face was red, his eyes were full of tears, his mouth was held tight, he was trying not to laugh. And in that moment, I think that was the moment that my dad realized if there was ever a chance of molding me into this manly son, it had long since passed. And it was also the moment I think I realized that it wasn't actually that important to him. These were just the things he'd like to take me and do. There was another moment, and then we both cracked and just started laughing and laughing and laughing, and we kept laughing right into that night when I was at the barbecue trying to eat my mutilated fish. Dad and I still hang out in the holidays when we find time, a couple of times a year. Now our male bonding is done at the pub, which suits me just fine. And we're still very different people. Dad tells me about his motorbike and I tell him about theatre. And what's cool, though, is I notice it more and more as I get older, but when we lean back in a chair, we lean back in exactly the same way and fold our arms over the same way. And when we get drunk at the bar and we both try and get off our stools and we've had too much to drink, we support ourselves the same way. We could be mirrors. And every time we hang out, we laugh about the fish. And the laugh that comes out of my mouth is his laugh. And my eyes crinkle the same way that his do. And in so many ways, my dad and I are very different people. But in just as many ways, we are exactly the same person.
That's Joel Bartsham there. Joel told that story at Now Hear This in 2012 at the National Film and Sound Archive. If you'd like to tell a story at Now Hear This, you're very welcome. You don't need to be an actor or a politician or a comedian or even a public speaker. All you need is the guts to share your story. For details on when the next Now Hear This is on near you, head to our website. You go to abc.net.au/rn and look for Now Hear This.